The OTL podcast has a new sponsor. We're delighted to say we're now brought to you in association with Mullet Makes. If you live in Airdrie, you may have seen the Mullet Makes van around the town. Ian Mullet is my brother-in-law. He started out a side hustle, converting whiskey barrels into display cabinets. With such success, it's now his full-time job, and he's branched out into all kinds of woodwork. So if you need any fencing, decking, garden bars, or anything else, have a look at Mullet Makes on Facebook or Instagram to see the kind of work and get in touch with Ian. Dum, 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 ooh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Only the lonely. Only the lonely.
Hey, Josh Wayne! He saved it! We've done it! We've done it! Brilliant, Joshua. Absolutely brilliant. We'll leave you with the highlights. It's over. The times are done.
Welcome to the OTL podcast. Our monthly podcast is back for the third week in a row, but this is what happens when you're so successful. So joining me to reflect on a successful cup final is David Quigley. How are you, David?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy to be here again.
Good stuff. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Have you been on since? Yes, you have been on since the playoff victory. But I think you made it to that one as well. And Barry Davies, Barry, how are you, Barry?
I'm very well, thanks, Colin. Yeah, thanks for having me back again. Still buzzing after Sunday. Been on a high all week. So yep, all good.
I'm finishing off my trio for tonight. Aaron Ewart, how are you, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm very good. Glad to be back on after a few months, and not a bad episode to come back on either.
No, we'll start there, Aaron. So just talk us through your cup final experience. So what did you get up to?
Well, I didn't have the usual build-up, which is probably quite a good thing because I can get pretty nervous. But I had a couple of youth games before, and then I was straight up to Grangemouth. Pretty much arrived right at the start of the game. So I missed most of the build-up, all the fun stuff happened outside, but it definitely didn't take away from the game. Obviously, I got in, and then they take the lead. I actually thought there was quite a few chances for both sides very early on, but we managed to pull it back, obviously. An absolutely brilliant goal from McStravick. And then I thought again, maybe at half-time, I was thinking, hope we've not going to rue those missed chances, because there were quite a few in the first half. But we didn't do that. The second half was a much different performance, I think, from the first half. A lot more disciplined. And then obviously we get that chance with the penalty, which probably came against the run of play. I think it was sort of out of nothing. And Big Toddy slots it in the bottom corner. And then for strangely enough, I feel quite comfortable now. In situations like that, even though maybe a couple of years ago, I would never have thought that we'd hold on to the lead. But despite them having all the ball, a couple of wee half chances maybe after that, I was pretty comfortable. And, you know, we managed to pull through like I thought we would. And then the celebrations after, obviously, absolutely brilliant. That's the first time I've ever seen us in a cup final. I don't think I've ever seen us actually in a semi-final before. This season, so it was a very special day, and I hope there's a few more to come under Reece McCabe.
Fingers crossed, yeah. We'll just go around then to other people, just reflections on the day. Barry, I hear you might have been involved in some of the pre-match entertainment. Do you want to talk us through it?
So my weekend was kind of a nervous build-up. Saturday afternoon, I was kind of kicking my heels because obviously no football, so myself and James went to the ballroom down in Court Bridge and had a couple of games of pool. Still just kind of building up, and James was feeling the nerves a wee bit. I made the point to him though, would you rather not feel nervous and not be in a cup final and just be preparing for a normal Sunday dinner? And I got a resounding no from him. So it's quite, I kind of emphasised the point that these occasions come along and we've got to appreciate it, even if you do feel a wee bit anxious and nervous about it. We convoyed through, a big group of us, probably about 10, 11 of us in over a couple of cars. And yeah, took advantage of the outside pre-match entertainment. The speed test football was quite good for me personally. And a fellow podcast, David, won't mind me sharing the story about how I finally put the ghost of Newcastle in 2011 to rest, and I've now reclaimed my top spot in terms of hitting the hardest shot amongst the group of guys that were at that particular stag do. So yeah, no doubt he's not even thought about it at all, but I've been thinking about it and I won't let him forget it. And then on the cup final itself, I mean, I think it was, as a spectacle, it was a special day. As I say, taking James to his first cup final is phenomenal. I'm so pleased to be able to do that and to have the opportunity to do it. I've seen us win that trophy five times now. Going back to the 94-95 B&Q Cup, which, of course, as we, those of us of a certain vintage will remember, was actually a glass vase and not actually a cup, which was a very, very strange scene, them lifting effectively they could put a bunch of flowers in later on, probably. But they don't get, it never gets tiring seeing your team lift a trophy. And it felt special to be part of it, even though it's, as other teams would call it, a Diddy Cup. I think it gets less of a Diddy Cup the further you progress in it. And then I don't think anybody in our league would have not wanted to have seen their team lift the trophy had their team got to it. So I don't buy into that narrative of being, oh, we don't care if we lose. Yeah, they do. They do. They want to get to the cup final. They want to see their team lift the trophy the same way we did. So, aye. Very, very pleased all in. I went home on Sunday night and watched the game again, watched the full thing again. I said that to my wife before I came on here tonight. It's not often you get to go home from an Airdrie game and rewatch the full game. Because it was obviously live on the telly, so it's quite a good thing to be able to do. So yeah, all in, a great day, great weekend, and a great result. Very pleased.
And David, similarly, you have been to most of those in terms of how it's evolved. How was it as like a showpiece game put on by the SPFL these days? Do you think it, well, what was your day like? But just reflect on that. How do you think it is as a cup final and an event these days?
I think once you get there, it's a great event. What struck me was the amount of kids there that were having fun, and they really put on a great day for them outside and inside the stadium. But for me personally, I was more excited and nervous for the game. I think part of that was not knowing much about TNS. You weren't worried about any particular player. Obviously, I knew a bit of their background, but being in such a one-sided league, you didn't know what to expect. I didn't see much of what was going on outside the stadium. Just a brief look, because I was absolutely bursting for the toilet, so just wanted to get in. But yeah, as the game itself as an advert was brilliant, particularly the first half. Like, 4 each, it could have been at half time, and it wouldn't have flattered either team. I thought in the second half of the game, you know, as you expected, it kind of lulled, it went into a bit of a lull, but I think part of that was we were able to close the gaps in behind our defence and just say to them, you know, to have the ball in front of us but not behind anymore, and pick them off on the counter at times, which O'Connor coming on, using his pace, caused their back to all sorts of problems, I thought. But yeah, overall, they done a great, like, it was a great job. The fireworks, my wee nephew was with us, he loved that. You know, it got him excited. I'm sure your wee ones were as well. But yeah, just a great occasion when you get there. Obviously, in the early rounds, you aren't that fussed about it. But when you get to the final, you want to win it. You want to see your team lift a trophy, and the celebrations, the pitch invasion, especially on Falkirk's ground, and they couldn't beat them in the semis. I didn't go back to the stadium. I was working the next day, unfortunately, but my sister and my niece did. So they went back for the party, but that was just up the road for me. Like Barry, watch it back on BBC Alba on iPlayer.
Yeah, I think you could choose between Welsh, English or Gaelic, which must be quite a statistic for a, for an Airdrie game. Right, so then getting into the game, I mean, the starting lineup came out. Gavin Gallagher was the only real shock, and probably a bit of a shock because I can't think he's had too many starts. I mean, we'll go back to Aaron. Were you surprised at that, and would you have lined up any different? I guess Reece had to make a decision off. He couldn't play Lyle, he couldn't play Megwa, so I thought it was probably only that midfield position that was up for grabs, maybe between him and Dean McMaster.
Yeah, well, I was a bit surprised. Obviously, you see him in the starting lineup for the first time in a number of weeks, in a cup final. But I think that just goes to show how much faith Reece has put in. I think anyone in that squad, anyone on the bench as well, I'm sure he wouldn't hesitate to start them if he felt it was right. But yeah, you could have put McMaster in, obviously, but I'm not too sure how well him and Reece work when they're together in midfield. So I can kind of see why I think he stuck himself in there. And he's put Gavin in. Maybe I think Dino and Reece play quite a similar role. So Gavin's a bit of something different. You probably could have played the likes of Chris Donnell as well. But again, you know, we're missing a lot of key players. I can't remember exactly how many, but I think it was 5 or 6 at least. And all of them are players who, you know, might be a shoo-in to start if you're going to pick your strongest 11. So it had to do something. Obviously, looking back now, we've won the game, so it's kind of hard to say that you would have done something different. But yeah, I was surprised, but I wasn't frustrated or I wasn't a bit worried or anything about seeing Gavin in the starting lineup and everything else. So I think was pretty predictable. All the players who are in form, players like Mixdravic, who were definitely always going to start. So I was pretty happy with the starting lineup. And then we've got, obviously, now the novelty of, even with a lot of injuries, we had quite a few players who we could bring off the bench to make an impact. A few more who didn't actually come off the bench, players like McGregor, who, you know, if you see him, we don't have to play him to win. I think it shows that the squad's gotten a lot better, you know, in terms of depth. So, yeah, I was happy with the lineup. But to be honest, I think it's got to the point now where I've got enough trust in Reece that I think he could play absolutely anyone and you wouldn't really question it.
And Barry David, either of you, I mean, you've watched it back when you've got home. Why do you think Gav Gallo did? Because he got subbed quite early in the second half. I didn't think he was too bad and very close to getting a goal quite early on.
I thought he looked a bit shell-shocked, to be honest. I thought I agree with what you're saying, Aaron. I think it does show that Reece clearly trusts the full squad and expects that anybody could come in and contribute and not be like, in his eyes, necessarily viewed as being a shock that they're starting. I think he did come out cold a wee bit. He's not started, as Aaron has said, for a number of weeks. He did look a wee bit nervy as well, and I think they maybe identified him as being a little bit of a weak link. I think he's actually quite a good player and I do like him. I think with McMaster starting alongside Reece, but maybe a wee bit further forward, it's asking him to do a role he's perhaps not that familiar with. And we don't know how that would have played out, obviously. Chris Donnell, maybe. Ironically, I know we've not seen Murray Aitken near the team for a number of months, but he would have been actually pretty good in that game in terms of the role that Gav Gall started in. And Aaron Lyle would have been excellent in it because he did well the previous week. Obviously couldn't play due to being cup tied. I think it did come down to the role he was asking Gav Gall to play. I think he wanted him a wee bit further advanced up the park. And I just don't think he maybe could have seen Dino doing the role. And also, it obviously worked out that way anyway when he had to take himself off at half-time when he was injured, that Dino came on and just fitted in for him in midfield anyway. And then I think it was Chris Donnell that replaced Gav Gall anyway, am I right, if I'm right in saying. And he actually looked pretty decent when he came on as well. I think he looks pretty decent. I think he's got a lot of pace is the only thing. If he was a bit faster, I think he would probably be getting a bit more game time. So yeah, I think the lineup was pretty good. Maybe Gav Gall was probably the problem Reese had. But as Anne says, it shows that Reese does have the confidence of his, has confidence in his squad to come in and perform for him, even if they haven't been starting of late. So yeah, and Reese we trust.
Yeah, and David, you were talking about it could have been 4-each. So like, just to watch in the first half, because it did seem incredibly end-to-end. What do you think was going on? Where were the teams having particular success, or why was there so much goal mouth action in the first half?
I think from our point of view, TNS were getting a lot of space down the wing back areas. Two very good wide players in their centre forward. Brown is it his name? Forget his name. But they've all got pace, and they were able to just ping the ball wide into the channels in between the fullback and centre back. And that was causing us all sorts of problems. But up the other end, they were obviously playing a high line as well, and McStravick playing off Todorov. Both of them were excellent the first half. They linked up really well, and the runs in behind were, particularly with McStravick, were causing them all sorts of problems. So I think that's why, just two teams playing kind of a higher line and leaving a lot of space in behind, and we were both able to utilise it in their own way. On Gavin Gallagher, yeah, surprised he started, but he's came on a few times as a sub. I remember, particularly, I think it was St Johnston in the Cup, and he's looked neat and tidy, so he was due a chance. I think the game, he struggled to impose himself on the game, but I don't think it was particularly bad or anything. It was a hard game to come into when you've not started for a few months. I think maybe Dunfermline in December was the last game he started, the home game. We lost 2-0. But he done okay. It was the right move to change him, and Donnell came on, looked good. It shows, as we've already touched on, we've got good strength and depth in the squad, particularly around the midfield. And come Friday's game, if McCabe's out for that, which he may be, you know, we've got McMaster can come in, Lyle's coming back, Donnell, Gallagher, Brizzo, McStravick can drop in there as well if he's fit.
Yeah, and you touched there. I mean, I think it might be the best game I've seen from each of Todorov, who sometimes I think he's holed up and his flick ones aren't that good. He was winning everything. And McStravick, I'm not sure I've seen the two of them play better than they did in that game. What do you reckon, Barry?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Big Toddy especially had easily his best game. I think he just rattled them. I don't think, if you watched the Welsh commentary back, their commentary team, I watched that around the Gaelic, just to mix it up a wee bit and see what they were saying about Airdrie. And they were saying that the TNS defence, they are not used to a player like Todorov. The guy's physicality and the kind of the game he was playing, because he wasn't giving them an inch. He was on them every single time. And he went through a guy in the first few seconds of the game. And I'm there for that. I think that's brilliant. This is always, as I say, as I looked in the group chat, it's almost like he's just popping up and saying hello. Like, now this is what you're going to get from me the entire 90 minutes. So I hope you're ready for it and hope you're game for it. And they weren't. They didn't know. They looked absolutely spooked by how he was playing. And with McStravick running just the channels behind him, he was here, there and everywhere. And it was phenomenal to see. Supported by obviously Friz and Chaz Telfer as well, it just seemed as if it all clicked. I was so glad he scored the penalty as well. What a penalty. It was unsavable. I mean, the keeper did his best, but when you put it in the side net, you've got no chance. It's pretty much a banker. And I think on the subject of Wee Liam's goal, you've seen him a few chances before then. Like, he had a couple of really good chances where he maybe just delayed it a wee bit too long before he actually got his effort away. So when he then got the through ball from Friz, and you could see it was almost as if he'd like he just saying, right, okay, this is what I'm going to do this time. Boom. Before they've given a chance to react to it, it's in the top corner. Just hit it first time. Don't even give him a chance to get back. And it was a great strike. The noise in the crowd at that point was just immense. I mean, it was just such a good film. Definitely his best game. I hope his injury's not too bad. But I probably, given how we treat injured players and we don't want to rush them back and we want to give them time to recover, I could see both him and Rhys missing out tomorrow night. But as we've spoke about, we've got players to come back, and Lyle can come back in. Dino steps in for Rhys, and it's not, they are two good players for us. But we've got strength there to bring into the place. So yeah. I'm quite pleased with both, with how they both played. Big Toddy's quickly becoming a cult hero for me. I think he loves it. You could see the sheer joy in his face. He just loves playing football, and the emotion he shows when he scores, it's great. But I mean, he's a great player to have. I'm really delighted with how his season's going.
Yeah. And his piece on the Alba coverage, if you haven't watched it, go to iPlayer and go to halftime. There's a really nice interview with him. Just about his time in Scotland, his time at Airdrie. He just comes across as just a big nice guy, big suave. He's got the camel coat on just about for his for the footage at the start off, and he's down in South Queensferry, which is where I think he lives, but worth tuning into if you've not seen already. Aaron, TNS was like the unknown quantity. You did a bit with Radio Shropshire and another thing with one of the Welsh podcasts. Didn't know what to make of them. For me, there was kind of shade to the St Johnstone game a bit, in terms of I could see they had a cutting edge to them, which I think is as good as anything in the championship. It's in that first half, like the early chance, which even watching it back in the highlights gets me a bit nervous. What did you make of them?
Yeah, well, I don't think you can dispute the fact that they're clearly a really good side. But I think in a strange way, the fact they're that good side, and obviously they're used to going out and winning every game. I think that worked in our favour, because I don't think they were fully prepared for our attacking players. And you could tell that their defenders, maybe, I think, I can't remember who, but one of them in particular was a bit shaky, I thought. They just seemed to be a bit shell-shocked coming up against the players they were coming up against. But in terms of the football they play, I think it was similar to obviously the football that we've played at times. I mean, they've clearly got some brilliant players, players like their wide players, who have been mentioned, that caused us all sorts of problems in the first half. Their striker as well, I thought he was really good. So they're clearly a brilliant side. But I think it does suit us a little bit playing against sides like them, sides who maybe aren't as prepared as, you know, the likes of teams like Morton and Ayr, who you play against, who we're playing against tomorrow, obviously. I think they kind of set up to counter the football that we play. And unfortunately for us, it does work sometimes. Whereas these teams like the New Saints, like St Johnstone did, even teams like Dundee, I think, the other Premiership sides we've beaten, I think they've came and not really thought too much about the way we play. I think they've looked to impose their style of playing, play attacking football, and I think that suits us down to a T, and I think we can counter that really well. So I definitely think that I was more confident going into this one than I would have been had it been Falkirk, even though we've beaten them countless times over the last few years, including that stadium. We're unbeaten for 5 seasons now. But I definitely think it suited us playing against them, playing against attacking teams all season. I think it suited us, and we've played well against them. So I'm hoping that a few other teams do the same. And I'm hoping, again, that tomorrow night it's not more of the same of what it's been against there this season. So hopefully they come out and try and attack us as well, like the New Saints did.
Yeah, as long as Aberdeen do that in the playoff final with us, Aaron, we'll be fine. David, McSavick's got, I mean, McSavick's goal, Barry touched on it, but I mean, how would you even, let's say I hadn't seen the game, try and describe that goal to me, because I've seen some news reports like, oh, that's quite how I would have put it, but how you explain it to me from the ball breaking in midfield and Fred's putting the ball through, what happens next?
I gets round the back of the defender, one bounce, looks up, sees the keeper. He's not really off his line, he just looks up, sees the goal is, and picks out of the top corner beautifully in the half volley. It was a wonderful strike. I think he had just decided then after his first few chances, maybe took an extra touch too many. Let the defenders get back to block. He just knew what he was doing as soon as that ball came over. And I took it as early as he could. It was a beautiful strike. We were right behind it in line with it. I think I described it as something beauty when it went in. It was a brilliant strike, and that's two goals in two games for him. So hopefully he's starting to find his the final bit of the jigsaw and the last third where he starts to adding goals to his game.
Yeah, I think the final was his best game. I think their both game wasn't far behind, and obviously a really nice control and finish in that game too. So, hopefully it's a sign of times to come. But yeah, brilliant. Right, and then the half time comes around, and we're probably catching up with people in the stands when the teams came back out. I don't know, didn't the managers were just like, guys. Calm down a wee bit here, because the character of the match seemed to me to change massively between first half and the second half. So, Barry, what do you think was getting said in the changing rooms and putting the half-time tease?
Probably more of the same, but whether the players listened to that is a different story. Obviously, we lost Reece at half time. Dino came on, but we also lost McStravick early doors as well, and I think he was pivotal to a lot of the stuff we were doing, and he was quite key to the kind of the buzz bomb approach we had seen in the first half from our forward players. I think it did just I think the occasion just kind of it petered out for that spell. And both teams were kind of cagey, trying to just pick an opening. There wasn't any bad players such, but I think they were just literally canceling each other out. It was as if somebody put a big wall in the middle of the park and they were just literally batting against it, trying to get through. The funny thing about the penalty, and I don't know if any of you's watched this or noticed it, Dicey actually stopped with the ball because there was another ball on the park. And their defenders, or their player closing Dicey down actually stopped. Chaz Telfer kicked the ball off the park. Dicey takes a touch and plays the ball over the top for Josh to run onto. Now, if that ball hadn't been on the park, their defender would have closed Dicey down. He might not have played over such a precise ball. So when I seen that back and I thought, that guy must be thinking, what the hell am I doing here stopping? Because that you don't need to stop if the ball's on the pitch as long as it's not interfering with play. And at that point, it wasn't, but it allowed four Dice to play the ball over. Josh O'Connor was on by that point, and then obviously the rest is history with a penalty. So that did make me laugh. In terms of the game itself after that, I mean, Josh O'Connor came on and he made a big difference. And Reece alluded to it in his interview, saying he got him on to run the line. Just get at them, just buzz in their faces, and just get in amongst it. And he's seen the way it played out. He's won quite a few penalties this season, actually, from similar scenarios where he just gets in front of the defender and just takes the hit. I mean, that's a great thing to be able to do. It's obviously one of the things that he's very good at. For all his other kind of raw talent faults, he's like very, very raw. But he's very, very good at that. He's made a difference. I didn't actually feel we would concede after we went 2-1 up. I just, as like Aaron said earlier on, I trust this group of players to see these games out now. Even though a one goal lead is never a sure thing, but I think for us it can be and has been many times this season. And it's a great thing to be able to do. It's almost as if the defence just say, nah, forget it. You're not getting any more anything else from us. I also didn't think, even if we went a goal down, just to just to kind of go back to the first half, that we wouldn't get back in it as well. I kind of felt we would always get back in it. I wasn't worried about that at all. And we didn't need to use Gabby or Lewis, so we're keeping them fresh for tomorrow night. So very, very good. Good game management in the second half. Like, we did the job. And as I say, although they huffed and puffed, I didn't feel as if they really troubled Henfrey at all. Still untested, really, this guy. And he's like, you know, had a lot to do in the two games he's played for us so far, and he's picked up a medal. Highlight of his career, he said, actually, I read that today. He's only played three games, so slim pickings, to be fair.
Yeah, a cup win after three senior games is very good return. And David, and just in that second half, any other key incidents that we've missed, or talk us through the penalty? Was it maybe even as good as Barry's shot into the speed gun outside? Barry shaking his head for the benefit of the tape.
It was a brilliant penalty. As said earlier, right into the side netting. I think that keeper's a bit of a penalty expert. He saves quite a high percentage that he faces, so it had to be accurate, as he guessed the right way, and he wasn't far away from it. But just given the accuracy of it and the pace on it, was brilliant. It was also 100% a penalty. O'Connor's done brilliantly to nip in and get the ball before the defender tried to hoof it clear, and he's ended up hoofing O'Connor clear. So it was 100% a penalty, and Big Toddy, he just did that. That wee bit of, just a feeling that he was going to score, just the way the game was going for him. It was brilliant all game. Just a feeling he was going to make no mistake with it.
I think we missed a lot of penalties in the course of last season, and yet from the penalty shootout in the playoff final, and also the same one at Capello, we now just seem to have a wealth of brilliant penalty takers. When like Gallagher seemed to used to shy away from penalties, it's good to see Todorov grabbing the ball and hitting one as good as that. But even if he didn't fancy it, I can name about four other solid penalty takers in that team. Right, and then final whistle goes. Barry, talk us through your emotions.
I think it was relief. Just to see us finally getting over the line with it. It was a good cup campaign, really. The Raith Rovers game was excellent. I wasn't at the Edinburgh, the University of Stirling game, rather, but by all accounts, highlights showed up as being pretty good. Some good performances along the way. So we wanted to get the final hurdle out of the way. I think, as I said earlier, I didn't feel that we would concede again. So although it was relief, it was more just a relief that, well, the game's over. We can look forward to the celebrations now. I think it would have been a nervy extra time if it went to that. I think we would probably have seen Gabby and Lewis on at that point as well, as I said earlier. But as I say, I was just delighted for James and my nephew Alexander. Me and my brother Mark, we've seen all the victories, because we've been going since the early 90s, late 80s. But for James and Alexander to see it, they had James's flag out, and we were in the section H for the singing section, accidentally, by the way, but it turned out to be a solid move, because it was brilliant. Although we didn't sit down once, actually, it was mental. Everyone just stood for the full 90 minutes. But yeah, to see the team win the trophy, and as David says, the fireworks and the confetti cannons and the what you see on telly, and we don't get to see it that often as Airdrie fans. So it was just nice to experience that and to get our moment of glory. I went back to the stadium with James after and got some selfies with, I think you got one with Toddy, who is actually, when you stand next to him, he is a massive big guy, by the way. He is huge. Spoke to Prince and spoke to Frizz, because that's James's coaches from a Monday night. So they were buzzing, and they came over and made a point of saying hello to James. So again, it's all part of the experience for him to like have the Airdrie captain coaching him on a Monday night and then lifting the trophy, coming over and getting a selfie with him. And it's just, I love it. But I love it for James more, because he's getting to experience all this for the first time. And it's just core memories for him. And honestly, it's such a nice time to be an Airdrie fan and have come through all the stuff that we've come through, all the low moments, to have all these high moments coming now is just relief, emotion, relief, brilliant experience. Back to the stadium and then just back to school on Monday morning. Don't you have to bump a wee bit, but keep a reel for them as well.
Aaron, for you, same for you though. You've mentioned first time seeing us lift a trophy, so that actual trophy lift, was it what you would have hoped?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never seen anything like this. I've probably not seen much success at all for Airdrie until the playoff game last season. So for in the space of less than a year to see us then go on and lift our first trophy for a number of years, I've never seen us lift one, obviously. It was really special. But in a strange way, I did just feel it coming. I mean, it never really crossed my mind that, especially during the game, after we got the equaliser, that it wouldn't be us lifting the trophy. But it was just definitely a special moment. I know I'm probably not old enough yet to be saying I'm happier for the younger ones, but yeah, my wee cousins went as well. This is their first season where they've been at, I think, pretty much every home game, and they're absolutely loving it as well. They get a few selfies with the players. We were all back at the stadium as well afterwards. So yeah, it was just a fantastic day. And again, I'm hoping and I think that there could be a few more to come, hopefully, if Rhys stays with us for a few years yet.
And David, so just how do you think it compared to the playoff experience at Hamilton?
Well, I never made it to Hamilton, so for me, it was great to be there. Yeah, I had to watch that one on the TV. So for me, it was much better being there in person. But I think the grand scheme of things, yeah, it's obviously it takes second place to that by quite a distance. The playoff win was massive, and we wouldn't have been at this stage in the Challenge Cup. We'd been able to lift it if we hadn't got promotion, the ability to strengthen our squad and sign the players that we have done. So, yeah, 100%. The playoff win was massive, and this year's playoff win will only eclipse that, I think.
Yeah, but it's odd in a way. That's kind of my takeaway. Like, I felt far more nervous at Hamilton. A large element of that was probably how that game panned out as well, where you go in with a one goal lead that disappears and it needs a last minute winner. But no doubt in the history of the club, winning the Challenge Cup, well, the SPL Trust Trophy is a bigger thing, and it's a bigger accolade for the club. But I didn't have quite that. I was quite calm. Like, I didn't have the sense of jeopardy of, don't know about TNS, they might be very, very good. If they beat us, well, that's going to be annoying, seeing them lift the trophy in front of 300 fans or whatever it was they had there. But I'll get over it quite quickly, whereas having been through the Queen's Park experience, just had we not managed to get the promotion last year, you were starting to wonder when it would ever happen. But thankfully, we did. And what does it mean in the grand scheme of things, guys? So I think we're saying it's Thursday night, so we've got Air United tomorrow. We return to the league campaign. I mean, how are you feeling about that, Barry? We're sitting in fourth. The results on the Saturday when you were at the pool hall went pretty favourably as well. If we're now wanting to cement fourth place, how are you feeling? You positive?
I think we need to be. I mean, the cup was a wonderful occasion, first and foremost. It was a lovely distraction from the league, just temporarily. But I think the players are now fully refocused on the league, and we've got eight games left now to potentially have another crack at a playoff again. And as David says, I mean, as likely as we might think it is, and depending who you speak to, some people have got us there, some people have got us not. I'm still hanging on to eighth. I think if we got to a second playoff, then it would create a bit of chaos amongst our fellow championship clubs. Nobody gave us much of a chance this season. To be still in with a shout at it and be sitting in a playoff place with a couple of games in hand, with the tail end of the season now looming. I mean, eight games isn't anything. That'll be gone in the blink of an eye. And where we are at the end of the season I mean, it could be absolutely phenomenal if we do get there. I'm still, as much as I want to be like, yeah, we're safe, I'm nervous about it. I've got a wee cautious optimism about it, but a little bit of nervousness as well. I think it would be outstandingly good if we got to the playoff. We need to focus on the league now, starting tomorrow night. We need to get the air monkey off our back. I mean, they've beat us three times this season. We need to halt that run tomorrow. I think the players know that. I think they'll be focused on it. I'm going to go to Arbroath on Tuesday night because I'm off on holiday after tomorrow, and we're going to Celadyke for a week, so I'm only an hour away from Arbroath. So me and the boy are going to head up on Tuesday night, and I'll be back in time for the Morton game on Saturday. So it's a good little run of games, quite an exciting little run of games we've got coming up. And I think the next four games could have us sitting very, very pretty in that playoff place. And who knows? I mean, as I said earlier on, I'm here for the journey. It's brilliant. Let's just see what it takes us. And if we get there, well, let's create a bit of chaos and upset a few of the guys in our league. And Pie and Borvo will be fun because they all hate us for a start. So how good would that be? Brilliant. Bring it on.
Aaron, anything different?
No, I agree with pretty much everything said there. I think this season, if we are, I don't want to be too optimistic, but if we are to manage to hold on to that playoff place, it'll be a bit different from the playoffs last year, in that I think there was a lot of pressure on us and it was very tense. As much as you're looking forward to it, I think it was probably the most nervous I've been at a match by quite a distance. But this season, if you're going into it, I mean, there's not really going to be any pressure on us. There's not really much pressure on us to actually make the playoffs. So, you know, if you end up in there, it's definitely a bonus going into the season. I think most of us would have taken anything above the bottom two. So if we're going to end up, you know, finding ourselves in another playoff for another year, it feels like every season we are, it'll be strange if we're not in them. But it'll be a different sort of excitement, I think. Maybe slightly less nerves. But the way we're playing right now, I've no doubt that myself and most of the other fans would go in with that hope that we could actually potentially find ourselves by some miracle in the Premiership if we somehow managed to get through the playoffs. But I mean, it's unlikely, but it's very possible. And I think that's just the atmosphere around the club right now, is that, you know, we know that we can play probably as well as anyone in the Championship anyway. We've already beaten a couple of top flight teams this season as well, so I think there'll be that hope if we do manage to keep ourselves in the playoffs. And I'm just looking forward to the last part of the season now, and again hoping that within the next few weeks, if we manage to win a few more games, that should be us safe from relegation, which is when I think we can start to relax a bit and really enjoy the last few games.
David, I mentioned, I've heard Rhys McCabe's name pop up on a couple of different, like, just Scottish, general Scottish football podcasts, talking about the cup win and talking about him very positively. I mean, I don't think his stock couldn't be higher at the moment. Do you expect that's going to bring maybe some unwanted attention come the summer?
I'm quite calm. I don't think it will. I think the fact he's still playing is, if he was to move, it'd be a Premiership club at least. I don't think he'd go to another Championship club. But I think he'll know as well, he's got a good thing at Airdrie where he can develop youth the way he wants. He can play the game the way he wants. He's got a lot of trust put in him. He's got his cousin at his side as well. He knows the club. And to move, to say it, even if he did go to another Championship club, like, who would it be? Dundee United, if they don't go up. That would be the only one, really, that I think he'd go to, and it would be more instant success they want rather than being given a platform to go out and find young players and give them a platform to play and develop them. Also, he's been getting a lot of plaudits for the football we play, which we do play good football, we keep it in the deck, but we've actually managed to mix that up as well this year. Look at going away to places like Dunfermline and Tannadice and winning 2-0. It wasn't just pretty on the deck football, we mixed it up, you know, we used Gabby and Todorov, and they gave their defence another dimension to think about, and we've managed to go to difficult places and get the victories. So I think a lot of the plaudits that come for the football side of it, they don't actually realise that he's added another dimension to us as well, which is all credit to him. And yeah, I'm quite calm. I think he'll stay here and keep going with the job he's got. The time will come to move on. Hopefully it's another couple of years away yet, and maybe he stays with us till he hangs his boots up and then off the pastures, you know, once he's decided that's time for him.
Hey guys, so we'll finish up, but we've got the game tomorrow night. Is this air monkey going to be taken off our back, and what's the score going to be? So we'll go in the order we started. Aaron, you go first.
Well, again, I don't think they're a brilliant side at all, but they do seem to have that sort of play style that we've struggled against. But I mean, I don't think you can be anything other than optimistic after the last, well, I think that's 6 games unbeaten now. We've just won a trophy. Ayr are they've lost a few games recently. They're sitting just above the 9th place relegation playoff spot. So in front of the TV cameras, I think we'll finally get the air monkey off our backs. I think that'll make it a clean sweep. That'll mean that we've beat everyone in the league as well if we are to beat them tomorrow night. So I'm going to say a 2-1 win with a late winner from Todorov again.
Okay, we'll take that. Barry, any advance on 2-1?
I think 2-1's a good shout. I'm cautiously optimistic about the game as well. I think we are due to get a win against them. I don't think it'll be an easy game for us. I think we do tend to struggle on these tighter pitches, and we know what Somerset's like. It's can be quite an intimidating place, the stand behind the goal with away fans. It seems if they're just hanging over the pitch right in your face. But I do think they've also got some injuries as well to key players. Like, I think their keeper, Robbie Much, I think he's out. I think he maybe was out after the game against us in January.
He went off, and there was a free kick, and he got stretched off just after it.
I'm sure he's got a shoulder injury or whatever it is, and I don't think Logan Chalmers will play either. I think he's injured too, and he obviously caused us quite a few problems in the first game. I think they seem quite downhearted when you read some of their fans' comments. How much truck you could put in that remains to be seen. But I think we are coming into it off the back of some really good form. We were very good against Arbroath after, well, people would say it's a shaky start, but I think they just got lucky with an uncharacteristic mistake by Megwa. I'm quite pleased that we've got Megwa and Lyle to come back in tomorrow night. They'll be back in fresh. They'll be coming back in chomping at the bit to get back on the pitch. It was great to see Megwa there on Sunday as well, getting involved with the celebration. I think it was Lyle there as well. I didn't notice him, but I'm sure he probably was there. So we've got some players, even if McStravick and McCabe don't make it, like I say, Lyle comes back in and continues his Arbroath form, and you've got a player who could easily turn it on and make the difference. And then Big Toddy, as Zan says, he's a danger just now. He's a threat. He rattles defences, and I think he will do the same again tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to it because I'm going to get a few beers and get a keg in my perfect draft and watch it on the telly in the company of my good friend and brother-in-law, David. So we're going to have that night. But no, I'm looking forward to the game and hopefully a victory. That would be a nice way to start my holiday.
That's good, David. Round us off. Go for it.
I'm going to go for another 2-0 away victory. Keep the trend going. I think we've found a system that's really suited us away from home now. So, yeah, defensively we're very well organised. Meg will be back in. Cammy's back fit. Dicey and Watson have been solid at the back in the centre. Hancock was against there the last time. He had a brilliant bit of skill to set up the first goal. So defensively, I think we're pretty sound and we can soak up a good bit of pressure, as we've proved. Midfield, but McCabe might be out, McStravick could be out, but we've still got enough depth there. Lyle coming back in, and Todorov up front will be a nuisance, as I'm sure, again. I think McGregor and Gabby McGill is, don't know if they'll be too soon for them still, but there'll certainly be options off the bench for this at least. So should have enough about us, even a few injuries. Ayer have got a similar injury, a bigger injury list. So we're due to give them a beating. So hopefully this is it on TV for everyone else to watch and see.
Excellent. Right, guys, thank you very much. And as a treat tonight, we're going to get played out by Ross Mitchell with his Simpsons softball Airdrie reboot. So there you go. We've actually now got somebody on the podcast who can properly play an instrument and sing. It's been long, long overdue, but we got there in the end. So thank you very much, gents.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I miss McCabe, but done it. The time is wet and won it. Within McStravick smiling all the while. And Ian Murray's tantrums made us smile. As we won our first cup in a little while. Tucking McCabe ball from Broomfield to Kirkcaldy. McCabe ball, Gallagher and Toddy. Josh Ray, the hero up at Capello. Aris McCabe free kick fired over the wall. I'm talking Telford, Frizzle and Eno. I'm talking McKeeball, from Broomfield to Kirkcaldy. McKeeball, Gallagher and Toddy. Josh Ray the hero up at Capello. Aris McKeef free kick fired over the wall. I'm talking Telford, Frizzle and Eno. Talking Telford, Frizzle and Eno.